Hello, this is Matt Slick from the Matt Slick Live podcast, where I defend the Christian faith and lay out our foundations of the truth of God's Word. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Welcome to Man Talk, brought to you by TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, where they're devoted to breaking down the walls of race and denomination and challenging men to take their God-assigned role. Here's our hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr., a black guy and a white guy.
It's the black guy and the white guy. We're back, Roy, and I tell you that last week's discussion was such a good discussion. We're going to continue talking about it, which is, again, critical race theory and social justice as it is defined by the movements that you see and individuals who have written on these particular subjects of critical race theory and social justice. So you, when we left last time, Roy, you were reading about a paper from an individual who basically was throwing out her opinion in reference to what she believes. And so you were talking about that on last show.
Yeah, thank you, Will. The article, or rather the name of the paper, was White Privilege, Unpacking the Invisible Knapsack. So we had gotten up to point number 7 last week, which is, and I'll refresh, was I can be sure this is this lady's position and thoughts as it relates to her walk in life. Number 7 was, I can be sure that my children will be given curriculum materials that testify to the existence of their race. If I want to, I can be, number 8, I can be pretty sure of finding a publisher for this piece on white privilege. I can go into a music shop and count on finding music of my race represented, into a supermarket and find the staple foods which fit with my cultural traditions, into a hairdresser's shop and find someone who can cut my hair. Whether I use checks, credit cards, or cash, I can count on my skin color not to work against the appearance of my financial reliability. I can arrange to protect my children most of the time from people who might not like them. I can sear or dress in secondhand clothes or not answer letters without having people attribute these choices to the bad morals, the poverty, or the illiteracy of my race. Now, this was a letter, a documentary, or narrative written in 1989, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So my point is, this is all one person's opinion, and this was much later than segregation, quite a few years later, I guess, about, what, 20 years after desegregation started, or so, right, 22 years. And look how far we've come today compared to that period. But what's interesting is that people are still building around this type of narrative or response rather than critically thinking, like we talked about in the last show, and that being, you know, really evaluating all the facts and making a decision and then declaring a path and a journey according to that, which the first foundational piece should be the Bible before we go any further as a reminder.
Exactly, Roy. And, you know, it goes beyond that, the article.
It does.
That what Roy just read, because there's another subject within critical race theory and social justice that's called interest convergence. And what interest convergence says, and again, this is not my view, this is the view of individuals who have written on the subject, and again, who have embraced the viewpoints of critical race theory. And they say that interest convergence says that according to an individual who have written on this subject back in the 80s, and his name is Bell, or 96 maybe. His last name is Bell. He said that when legislation passes, it passes only because it benefits one group of people over another. Now, I want you to listen to that statement really well, because when you look at the broad base of it, the first thought an individual take when they listen to that is they say, well, yeah, That's why we were fighting for civil rights back in the 1960s, you know, because of things like this. But this is how you can get pulled in, saints. When you allow yourself to perch and ultimately grasp for the nuggets of this type of thinking, now you've allowed yourself to get off course. And so in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about, Roy, you know, that the Bible addresses racial issues. It addresses partiality. And we're going to see this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 18. We're going to see that, but we're going to talk about that in a second. So all of this critical race theory doctrine, and I guess we can call it dogma as well.
Yeah.
when we see this, they have taken things from history which have happened, and they're continuing to put that to the forefront. And when that remains the forefront of your argument or issue, now we it's like a circular thing. You start off talking about a particular subject, but when you end up, you always end up at race or racial issues. It becomes a race thing. And this is why they've identified Delgado. He identified in that he said racism is normal and everybody is racist. You know, so they have racial tendencies. Now, again, when you think about that, for an individual who is unsaved and who an individual who does not understand history of the United States as it opposed to indigent people or people who were brought here, if you don't understand the history behind that, now you say that sounds good. And so now you grasp it and you hold on to it and you run with it. And then you do what this woman has done. Roy, you start bringing forth an opinion based on your understanding of what you heard or read.
Or just what's in your heart,
mm-hmm.
right? Not just what you heard or read, but also what's in your heart, which could be, obviously bad life experiences, anger, all those things that could flow into our writings. And there's no question we've seen that happen. If we are followers of Christ, should we see skin color?
No, because again, we're going to address this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 18. We're going to see how the Lord God, through what Jesus Christ did on the cross, he brought together Jew and Gentile. Gentiles did not like the Jews did not like the Gentiles because, you know, they were uncircumcised. I recall what David said when he was going out to fight Goliath. He said it, you uncircumcised, you know, enemy, basically. So he was pointing out that you were not part of the covenant because you were non-Jewish. And we have the Lord God on our side. Who do you have? So when we think in terms of the Lord is fighting our battle, it is the Lord who is to the forefront of our conversation and not race. Mm. Now, all of a sudden, we're not only fulfilling the Great Commission, but we're also filling those things that Jesus Christ have called us to do as representatives of the kingdom.
Folks, think about that for just a second. When you leave for work or when you're at your workplace and you see a person that doesn't look like you, what is your first thought as a follower of Christ? Is your first thought, well, there's a white man or there's a black man or there's a black woman or white woman? Or is it, hey, I wonder if that person knows Christ? Or there's my sister or there's my brother in Christ? Which of those is the right approach? Which of those ones, and the question you should be asking yourself. And I think that's at times when there's so much noise out here, Will. It's and folks, that's exactly what it is. We've talked with you in the past. if Satan can just get you off center, then he may not impact your eternity. But if you're focused on things that aren't of God, it may impact your neighbor's eternity. It might impact your spouse's eternity. It might impact your children's eternity, because if you're not on course and you're not continuing to work for the kingdom, you may miss an opportunity to share the gospel with one of those people because you're diverted, you're distracted, and you're in the middle of something that you shouldn't be in the middle of.
And people are watching you.
They are. That's the other thing, too.
Yeah. You're watching.
Great point, Will.
So, and your life could very well be a stumbling block if we're operating outside of the Spirit's leading and guiding. When we do that, you know, now we've allowed the enemy to come down this open avenue that we've let him in just because of the way we think. And of course, you know, I'm just a big fan of all of the scripture, but one that I quote often is Romans 12:1-2. You know, we have to have our mind renewed daily. And of course, Philippians 2:5 says the same thing in essence. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So if you're putting on his mind, if you're understanding what the scripture says regarding racism or racial tendencies that people have, stereotypes. Oh, yeah. Stereotypes existed back in the days of Jesus and beyond. You know, all people in some form or fashion had things done to them by some race that they disapproved of. Now, when we look at today's times, we're saying things like this, because of sin, they're going to continue. But we, as God's people, we have to rise above that, Roy. We got to. And if we don't rise above it, then we'll become partakers of it.
Which, if you're participating in it, you're guilty of it.
Absolutely.
You're guilty by association. And then, you know, would God approve of my position in this particular area? And that's the other question. Would God approve of my thought process? Would God approve of my actions? Would God approve of the results? And most likely, the answer is going to be no. Unless everything that you're doing is back looking through a biblical lens and you're trying to make reparation with your neighbors and trying to be a peacemaker instead of an antagonist, or living back and creating this whirlwind of noise that's going to distract you, distract your children, distract your family members. It's a crazy cycle, folks. We're just trying to help get ourselves and you and everyone else looking through Christ and looking to Christ daily.
And what we're going to do when we come back, we're going to read to you Ephesians chapter 2, 11 through 18. And we're going to see how Jesus Christ have mended the relationship between Jew and Gentile.
TAWCMM would love to have you join their community of men for breakfast every first and third Friday of every month. They have Bible discussions and fellowship after the best breakfast in town. The meeting location is at their gracious host church, First Christian Church in Kernersville, 1130 North Main Street in Kernersville. They have a hard start at 7 o'clock and a hard stop at 8 o'clock. First-time visitors eat for free. Join your hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr., a black guy and a white guy. Affordable Chiropractic in High Point. As you might tell from their name, Affordable Chiropractic, even for the cash patient. Dr. Jeff Fricke has been caring for patients in High Point for 34 years. Physical therapy such as ultrasound and spinal decompression for disc conditions such as herniation. Comprehensive care for auto accident injury patients with no out-of-pocket expense. Remember, Affordable Chiropractic on West Lexington Avenue in High Point. Call 336-885-1987.
We are back, Man Talk Radio, and so Ephesians chapter 2, I know you all been waiting for it. I hope you got your Bibles, your iPad, your phone, and you're going to read along with us. But we're going to read to you Ephesians 2, 11 through 18, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, and Roy, you're reading from?
NIV.
The NIV. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision, made in the flesh by hands. And what God is blessing through the Apostle Paul here to say is, Ephesian Christians, remember when the ones who were circumcised, which were the Jews, they basically called you out because you were uncircumcised. So basically, you couldn't have fellowship with them and they couldn't have fellowship with you. So because you were uncircumcised, you were not part of God's covenant.
Verse 12, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you once were far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
And see, the blessing here with verse 12 is that he begins to name the things that the uncircumcised, or in this case, he's speaking to the Christian at Ephesus. He's saying that at that time you were, number one, without Christ. You didn't have Jesus in your heart. You were serving idols. And then, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, you were aliens. You were, God didn't know you and you didn't know him, because you were not part of his covenant people. So that's why you were aliens. And then he says you were strangers from the covenants. Again, mm-hmm. you didn't have a covenant with him, so you wouldn't know what the covenant was, because you didn't have one with God, because God didn't make one
right
with you. And then you had no hope. You had no hope, and you didn't have God in the world. So there was no hope for you outside of Christ, is what God is blessing through the Apostle Paul to say to the Ephesian Christians. You didn't have any hope. There was no way for you but down. But now he's going to talk about the opposite. Let's read that, Roy. 14. Yeah. I mean, excuse me, 13.
Yeah, I'll repeat 13. But yeah. Now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
And see, Roy, mm-hmm. again, when you're far away, that means you're unknown. You're not seen. You're not part of. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't become part of a family. But now, through Jesus Christ's blood, he has taken away this partiality thinking, this stereotypical thinking, taking that away, and now, Jews and Gentiles, you are one in Jesus Christ.
So that could be translated, Jews and Gentiles, as?
Amen. Today, it could be translated as black, white. It could be translated as Asian, Hispanic.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, so if you are in Christ,
you're the same.
That's right. And we are all under one blood. And that blood is the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood that saved you and I have now put us into his body, because without that, we're hopeless, helpless, and we're lost.
You know, Larry Jackson says that I just happen to be a spirit that resides in a black man's body.
Exactly.
He said, Roy, you just happen to be a spirit that resides
exactly.
in a white man's body.
Exactly. So, exactly. We are spirit.
That's it. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall. Now listen to this, folks. The dividing wall of hostility.
See that? The scripture is pointing exactly mm-hmm. to what's happening today. And here, God blessing through the Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesians, this happened years and years and years ago. But the same thing is happening today. We are putting walls up between us to divide us, and especially in the body of Christ. If you're born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, from the power of God from up above, you and I are brother and sister in Christ.
Amen.
This is why Roy and I, we can come on and say, here's a black guy talking, here's a white man, and not be offended with each other. Because, see, we understand where we are positioned in Jesus Christ.
Right. And that's side by side
together. Absolutely. Absolutely. So take that verse, underline that verse, highlight that verse, because that's a key verse. All right, Roy.
Verse 15, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace.
No more Jew and Gentile. Mm-hmm. No more these are commandments and laws for you Jews and the Gentiles, you know, they don't have anything. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, he brought us together. Together. What does together mean? Unity.
One body.
One body. We are unified because of what Jesus Christ done. Don't let yourself be put out of your thinking by allowing social issues, the hot topic of the day, to bring you out of who you're representing in Jesus Christ. And that's a kingdom man.
Yeah, and exactly.
Kingdom man.
Kingdom man, kingdom woman. Mm-hmm. And that's and when you do that, you're actually allowing yourself to be pulled out of fellowship.
Absolutely.
And if you're out of fellowship with your brother, who else are you out of fellowship with?
Well, when you're out of fellowship, again, you open up the avenue for the enemy to come
in a greater way.
That's right, and start planting some of these thoughts.
That's right.
16.
And in one body to reconcile both of them.
Look at that.
To reconcile both of them. To God. Through the cross by which he put to death their hostility.
And this is how we're unified. Mm. We are unified by the cross through the blood.
So, Will, if he's putting the hostility basically to death, right, which means he's abolishing the hostility, and we still have hostility towards our brother.
And then what that means, Roy, is we're not thinking biblically.
Right.
Because we have to understand that all of the hostility that's between us, regardless of how it initiated or what ancestors have done in years gone by, we understand that these things exist. But again, if we make it the conversation of every topic we talk about and it ultimately ends in this, then your mind and your heart cannot be fixed and have that mind, as Ephesians 2:5 says, having the mind of Jesus Christ. You can't have that mind and the mind of the world as well, because he have taken us from thinking that way and brought us into a new way of thinking, a new way of walking, and a new way of talking. Walking and talking. Hey!
That sounds familiar. So does a person have peace that's in the middle of all this?
Oh, absolutely you have peace, because I've been in situations to where people have seen, have been all just chaos all around them. Mm-hmm. And then they look at certain people in the crowd and they might say, how can you be so calm when all of this is going around you? And see, I've seen people like that when they were marching. Mm-hmm. They were people marching calm. How could you be like this? You got to have some hostility. You got to be. And I even saw people, Roy, who were just eating outside. And as the marchers were going by, they wanted them to partake in what they were doing. And when the people who were eating outside in the restaurant failed to do so, now they became the enemy. Mm. I saw that happen last year. And again, it hurt me to my heart.
Yeah, I saw someone where they were screaming at folks sitting there that were just trying to mind their own business mm-hmm. and eat dinner. Yeah. And then they were getting attacked by the mobs.
Exactly. 17.
He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near.
See, that's us. Mm-hmm. We're Gentiles far away from God. We were alienated from the promise. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any hope. We were lost and undone. We didn't have any covenant with God. But now, through the cross, through the blood, we have that covenant. And see, that's the beauty behind this. He says he came and preached peace.
Yes.
So if he preached peace to us, Gentiles, and today, then we have to carry the message of peace forward. Mm-hmm. And you can't carry the message of peace when you're thinking hostile. When you're acting hostile, or you're bringing up all within your conversation is ending within some type of racial discussion.
Mm-hmm.
You're not at peace.
That's not edifying speech either.
No.
It's for you or for the other person. For 18, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit.
And see, again, that's that the access is now as Gentiles, we being born again, because Ephesians, in that same chapter, I think it's Ephesians, Ephesians 4, starting at verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We already got a seat, Roy. Amen. We already got a seat.
Yes, we do. Well, folks, we're going to leave verse 19 for you to read and study on, but remember, one body.
One body.
No colors.
No colors.
No races. No anything.
That's right.
You're all one body.
Under the blood.
Amen. And love on your neighbor. Don't forget that. And get peace in your life. Hey, while we've got you, we want to invite you to a couple things coming up here in the next few months. We've got author, journalist, former attorney Lee Strobel, who wrote The Case for Christ, coming to join us February 4th and 5th at First Christian Church in Kernersville, North Carolina. In 2 weeks, we'll be with Chief Justice Paul Newby at First Christian on Thursday evening at 6 p.m. Please join us. Contact the church office there at First Christian if you'd like. That's our host site. They're happy to give you any information and put you in touch to get you tickets and get you prepared. Folks, we appreciate you so much. We love each of you. We'll be praying for you. And God bless and have a great week, Will.
God bless you. We love you.
As we wrap up today's show, be assured that TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, is building a community of men that are Christ followers with a desire to be servant leaders in their homes, communities, churches, and work environments. Check out our website for upcoming events and regularly scheduled meetings. Drop us a note for topics that you would like to have us visit in the future. Thank you for joining us on Man Talk today. Visit us at www.tawcmm.com. Men walking the talk.
This is the Truth Network.
Say, what would you do if you were a new Christian and you didn't have a Bible? It's Michael Woolworth, by the way, from Bible League International, and you'd probably say, well, I'd hop in my car, I'd go to a Christian bookstore, or I'd have one shipped to me. What if those weren't options? You'd say, well, I'm new to the faith. I need to know what it means to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. You know, you would pray that someone, anyone, would bring you a Bible. And that's exactly the way it is for literally millions of Christians around the world. They're part of our spiritual family. They're new to the faith. They want to know what it means to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. But God has them planted where it's very difficult to access a Bible. And that's why the Truth Network and Bible League have teamed up to send God's Word to 3,500 Bible-less believers around the globe. Our campaign is called The World Needs the Word. $5 sends a Bible, $100 sends 20, every gift matched. Make your most generous gift by calling 800-YES-WORD, 800-YESWORD, 800-YES-WORD, or give at truthnetwork.com.